kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual is Cole. Cole, how are you doing?
I'm alive. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing all right. I've had a fun week.
Yeah? Tell me more.
Well,
is this a sarcastic fun or a normal fun?
A normal fun.
Okay, let's go.
You remember what we did on episode 420, right?
Yes.
Well, I got something new, and I tried it.
Uh-huh.
And I was ridiculously fucked up.
I was
having the giggles. I was having a giggle fit. I went into like a 10-minute description of this popcorn that we get at Kmart, and I was explaining to Ashley why it's really good and what benefits it has compared to normal microwave popcorn that we've gotten in the past.
What are you going to do when there's no Kmart to get the good popcorn at now?
I don't know, because it's really good popcorn. Like, it fills the bag. You have a full bag. You don't have a bunch of air in there.
Yeah.
You know, the butter, it seeps through the entire package of popcorn. So it's not just like a couple bits that have butter and salt on them. The whole thing has butter and salt on them. I'm telling you, I just went on a diatribe about this popcorn. Kind of like I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
It's good popcorn. And it's only like a fucking dollar for a box of six.
And now it's going to be gone.
Yeah.
Damn.
Now it's going to be gone.
Sad face.
Normally, it's you who goes on weird rants at the beginning of the show.
I know. I've had a pretty mundane week. I mean, other than the whole, you know, number three getting her face split open thing.
Yeah, but you talked about that last week.
That was last week. We got stitches taken out today, and it's done. That's it. She's got a gnarly looking scar, but yeah, all said and done, she's fine.
Nice.
Yeah.
How much Division have you played?
Well, you're just going to throw me to the wolves. A lot.
Everyone's thinking it. This is the week the Division 2 comes out. Everyone knows that you are insane for the Division, so I figured I'd just ask right away, how much the Division 2 have you played?
When it released, as soon as it was available, Studa and I knocked out 11 hours the first day.
Nice.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, we're only like level 14.
Damn.
But we didn't get to play at all today. I had, you know, obviously had to take number three to the doctor and everything. So I think Studa was working today, so I didn't have anybody to drag along. But, yeah, I already put in quite a bit of time. I think the most impressive thing about the fact when I say, oh, I'm only level 14, but then I have to admit that I've only actually done like two or three actual campaign missions. And the rest of my time and my experience has just come from shiny object syndrome and nice. Running around like a chicken with my head cut off going, oh my gosh, look at this. Oh my gosh, look over there. What's this? And I go on like a collect-a-thon spree and get it all out of my system.
I am terrible at the game so far. I completed the mission where you have to go to the theater and save the one lady. And then I went back and then I got a side mission to go to a library. And I just got my shit wrecked trying to leave this library.
Did you play the betas at all?
Just briefly. I don't like playing betas too much because I know I'm going to have to repeat everything I do when the game comes out.
Yeah, when I played the open and the private beta both, I was like, they let you go up to level 5, I think it was, in the beta. And then it was that whole first mission area. But then they added in-game content that you could experience. But I was very adamant that I was like, I don't want to do any in-game content because I don't want any spoilers. And even still, like, everybody's like, oh, it's not been as bad as the Division 1 was. When I got the Division 1, everybody was like, oh, I'll carry you. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be carried. I want to experience it. I don't need to be carried. If anybody's ever played a shooter with me, you will know I don't need that kind of help.
I am the carrier, not the carryee.
Yeah. Not to toot my own horn, but toot toot motherfucker. these shooters are my thing. So I didn't have quite as much trouble with people saying that they wanted to carry me, but there were a couple of moments, especially there's one guy that plays with me in Studio regularly, and he was like, oh, I'll start it super early, and then when you guys get on, I'll be able to power level you. And I'm like, fucking no, you won't neither. And I said, the first person who tries to power level me is going to find that I'm going to go into invisible and play this shit by my damn self. I don't want to be carry. I want to just enjoy the game and experience it. And I've had the same attitude toward the betas. I was like, I don't want to do any of the in-game content. I want something to be left as a surprise.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty avid that that's how I want to experience it. And I've stuck to it. I'm completely spoiler-free so far. So fuck anybody if they jump into chat and get that shit and spoil it for me.
You have the mighty banhammer, so if anyone says anything.
I've been, I'm glancing at it. Excuse me, I've had a bit of a cough. I'm glancing at chat, but I'm a little nervous talking about the Division at some asshole's just going to be like, hey, surprise, guess what? like Carnage. Can I ban Carnage?
He didn't do anything yet.
He's trying.
Gotta wait. Gotta wait. It.
But yeah, I'm enjoying my time with the game. I can't wait till this weekend where I don't have any obligations. That's been the hardest part, is I paid for the early access, but it's the middle of the week and I've got obligations. I gotta get up at 5 a.m. so I can't stay up late. Excuse me.
Wine. Geez.
I know it. I can't stay up late, so I have to, go to bed at a reasonable hour, and that only lets me put in 12 hours a day instead of 20.
Oh, poor you.
So this weekend, no holes barred. The kids don't have to get up early for school, so I will be late nighting it, and I'm done with my review games as of tonight. I think I got one more to work on, so I'm good.
Man, have you ever thought you would have so little that you need to do?
No, and it's weird because I keep looking at my planner and I'm like, fuck, I didn't write something down. There's no way. I don't think I've had this few since I started the show.
Yeah, it's been things are starting to slow down. It's nice. We get a little bit of a breather. There's not going to be 10 reviews every episode, which is nice.
Yeah.
That gets exhausting.
It does. And I always worry about getting burnout. I don't want to burn out because I enjoy what I do. But when you have 7 games to play, somebody asked me once and they were like, how do you even play that many games? And I'm like, I have a lot of time, but it also takes a lot of time. And when I'm trying to work as an artist and be a mom and review the games and at least have some modicum of respectability on this podcast, it's stressful. And I sometimes just get tired. Yeah. Oh, well, next. Speaking of dicks,
should we talk about some video game news for the week?
Yes.
There was a big rumor going around this week. It kind of came out of nowhere and seemed to disappear into nowhere, but there was a rumor going around that Sony was in talks to buy Take-Two.
Hey, who is Take-Two?
Like, owner of 2K, sports franchise, Red Dead, Grand Theft Auto, Bioshock, Borderlands, Carnival Games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the rumors were later called baseless speculation, but it still makes you wonder, what if...
Speculation is a funny way to say no. Really, though? Like, if it's a no, they're just going to be like, nah, we're not doing that. But
no one came out and denied it. Yeah. So, it makes you wonder.
Oh, it's baseless and it's just speculation. Okay, but why are people speculating? if it's not possibly a thing. So, I don't know. It has my attention.
What would you think if 2K went Sony exclusive? Do you think that would be nail in the coffin for the video game wars?
I don't think it would be a nail in the coffin for video game, for the console war. No, but it would certainly hurt things a little bit. I mean, yeah. You said Red Dead, right?
Yep.
And Grand Theft Auto.
Yep.
Rockstar.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that Microsoft wouldn't throw every little bit of money they could to see that Rockstar stayed on
multi-platform.
Yeah, at the least. I mean, Xbox has been no holes barred lately anyway, throwing money to scoop up everybody they can.
The thing is, they're aiming after mainly more independent studios. They're not going after a gigantic publisher. Like, this would be, you know, there were that rumors about it. This would be like if Microsoft acquired EA.
Yeah, and I don't see... I can't imagine that Take-Two is in any kind of financial duress to the point that they would need to be considered being acquired.
Hey, if the number's big enough, you don't have to be in financial trouble. I think the rumored amount was like $14 billion.
I don't know. I guess it depends on how many shareholders they got to pay off.
True.
So
it's weird though. It's weird to think that might be a possibility. Things would get very interesting.
That's definitely would definitely be a shock. That's for sure. Indeed. I don't think I would be as supportive of that. Like, I know I've been fairly supportive of Microsoft buying Ninja Theory and Compulsion and everything, but those were smaller indie studios making indie games. And I don't know, I feel very different about a multi-plat AAA company sliding on that rail.
Slippery slope.
Yeah, crazy things happen. But
I guess we'll find out at Sony's E3.
No, we're not. You know, though, they've got to be planning something that they're going to do that week. They're not going to just let Microsoft have a big-ass E3 show and not try to steal the thunder somehow.
Yeah, we'll find out. Only a couple of months away, so.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, we're getting close.
Holy shit.
It's getting to be that time of year.
So much excitement. I'm still just like trying to enjoy all the shit that was announced last year. I'm not ready.
You never will be.
I will never be ready for E3. I look forward to it every year and I get so stupidly excited about it. And then I just let that hype ride all the way up to the next one.
Awesome Prime. I just ordered a PSVR today for Rock Band VR. I don't think Rock Band VR is on PS4, or did they just announce it? Because as far as I know, that was, I think, Vive or Oculus only, one of the two. I don't remember. Let's see, what other news was there this week? They had an Inside Xbox event this week. Did you watch it?
I did.
It was kind of boring.
Yeah. It wasn't the best Inside Xbox. There were some interesting things announced, though.
Yeah, I think they kicked it off strong by announcing Minecraft is coming to Xbox Game Pass on April 4th.
I knew it was going to happen. I knew it. Like, the girls just got Minecraft for Christmas, and so here we are. I put off buying it for ever how many years I've had a goddamn Xbox One now.
Oh, you know it's worth the price.
I don't know. I didn't pay for it, so it's fine. One of the only two discs we have digitally, so it's fine. Or not digitally, but we have on disc. Lord, I cannot speak. Physically. Two games we have physically. Go ahead.
They also announced that the Halo Master Chief Collection is officially hitting PC on the Windows 10 store and on Steam.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
Some people seem upset about this, and that feels weird.
People get upset about everything. They're like, oh, now there's no reason to ever buy an Xbox. Sure, there are. There's plenty of reasons to buy an Xbox One.
Because primarily, it's a fuck ton cheaper than a PC. That's why.
Yeah. If you don't want to fuck around with building a PC to play shit, just buy an Xbox One X and things are going to look amazing.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to look on par as the highest end PC, but that's because you're paying $4,000 for the highest end PC.
That is true. That is absolutely true. I know, because David's little like, let's just replace your PC. Let's just build you a good one. And I'm like, you don't realize how much this shit costs.
Yeah, building a PC could get pricey if you want, like, top-of-the-line stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to drop $2,000 on a PC. If I drop $2,000 on a PC, it better have a slot for my dick to go in. That's how I feel. Better have a fucking glory hole on the thing.
Now I've just got, like, a mental image of a penis getting hit by the fan blades. Oh, ow.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry. But that RGB on your dick, though.
Oh, my God. Speaking of Master Chief Collection, they said that Halo Reach is coming to the Master Chief Collection on Xbox and on PC. No date for it yet. They said that the multiplayer component is going to be free for everyone. The campaign and firefight is going to be a paid addition on Xbox, and then it's going to be included standard on PC.
That's interesting.
And included in Game Pass.
Oh, well then fine. That's no
time for games. Are we dropping biddies to pay for a dick slot on Joe's shitty computer?
That's the joke's on you. That's what all them bits have been going for this whole time.
Yes.
And we're 23% of the way there. Fuck yeah.
23% of the way to a dick slot. We're getting close. Let's see what else happened on Inside Xbox. They showed off a video for The Division 2. They showed off a video for One Piece World Seeker. They showed off a segment for Women in Gaming. It, like, the entire episode was devoted to women at Microsoft because of being, you know, Women History Month.
Awesome.
They announced Walden, a game, is coming to Xbox this summer. It looked pretty cool.
Yes.
You have any comments on that?
No, I actually think I missed the trailer for that.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm trying to remember it, and I don't.
Oh, well, like I said, this was a fairly non.
I gotta go pee or something.
It was a fairly non-memorable Inside Xbox.
Yeah.
Like, the big thing really was Halo Master Chief Collection.
Well, there's one other big thing.
It depends on how big you think. We'll get to it. They're working on bringing spatial sound to Xbox One for all content, whether it's developed for spatial sound or not. So if you game with a good sound system or a good headset, you're going to get some really cool sound effects coming at you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that seemed pretty neat. They showed off a new Phantom White controller where the bottom of the controller is white and the top half is see-through. That looked pretty neat.
You know, ever since Studa got his Xbox One X, it's had a shitty A button on this controller. And I've been fussing at him to, like, get a new one forever. And every time they're on sale, I'm like, look, motherfucker, buy a new controller. And he's like, oh, I'll think about it. And then I sent him a screenshot of the Phantom White. He's like, tell me how I pre-order that.
April 2nd, it comes out.
This is what it took to get you to get a new fucking controller? Been 2 fucking years
with a shitty A button.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And we play Rocket League. The A button is the most important fucking button.
Oh my God.
I don't understand. I'm like, all this time we could have been fucking Diamond Division, but no. Hang on to $20 and not buy a new controller. Yeah, the controller looks pretty badass. So I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it does.
All I can think of is, like, I'd get taco sauce on it and never get it off. But
my thought is, when are we going to see more designs for the Elite controller? Like, give me an Elite that has half see-through, half blue or something.
I do wish, especially given that the Elite has, like, interchangeable components. Let me go on the design lab and order a gold D-pad or a pink metallic D-pad or something like that for my Elite. I don't understand why that's not a thing.
I think there have only been four different Elite controllers. There's the standard Elite, the white Elite that they sell at GameStop. Mm-hmm. They had the Gears of War Elite controller, which was stupid limited. And then I think through some mail order site, they had a Forza-themed Elite controller,
mm-hmm.
which was like stupidly limited and expensive.
Yeah.
I forget who that was through, though. I remember seeing it, though.
I'm really surprised that they don't do more as far as promoting. I'm assuming there's a cost issue there, because the Elite as it is not cheap. But it's probably far worse when you start getting into letting it be customized. Although, fuck, maybe come E3, Design Lab Elites.
Oh, that'd be amazing. They'd be like $200.
I'm okay with that.
I'd probably save up to get one, probably.
Yeah.
Because I am a whore.
Yay. I would try to win one.
And you probably would.
Worked the last time.
Yeah, shut up. State of Decay is getting a new Choose Your Own Apocalypse update coming March 26th with two new harder difficulty modes.
That's awesome.
So State of Decay fans are... Yeah, free update. State of Decay fans are in for a treat.
I love State of Decay.
This is probably the other really big thing you talked about. They had a segment on Project X Cloud. And they showed off one of the hosts playing Forza Horizon 4 on a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to be working really well.
Yeah. I thought it looked awesome. I thought it was impressive. I have learned not to look at the comments under the video.
Why? What did they say?
Oh, my God. Oh, it's fake. Everybody could tell that there was just a video. She wasn't actually playing it. She didn't know what she was doing.
Well, if you paid attention to the driving, she really didn't seem to know what she was doing. She was just kind of slowly drifting back and forth, but I don't think it was a video. I think she was just trying to do an interview and drive at the same time.
Which is hard to do. It's tough on its own.
I know. I have a hard time, like, keeping up with my notes and paying attention to you at the same time.
I'm hard to pay attention to be fair. I'm too all over the place.
Hmm?
Yep, exactly. I've been known to be playing Forza and just stop because there's too much going on around me. And be like, I can't on at the moment. So I think she did exceptionally well given her circumstances of being on camera in front of people and trying to do an interview and still keep that shit moving.
Yeah. If it works like they showed off, this is going to be really cool tech. The problem is, when are we going to actually get our hands on it? They said that there's going to be public trials this year, but when are we going to see, like, wide adoption of this?
E3. That's going to be a whole, hey, you can play Game Pass on your phone right now kind of thing.
It might be, which would be awesome.
I know things. It's true.
What else was on Inside Xbox? They showed a Final Fantasy video recapping all the Final Fantasy games that are coming to Xbox One. They showed a DayZ segment and trailer, and the full release of DayZ is coming March 26th out of game preview. And then the last thing that they said was they confirmed Halo Infinite will be at E3.
I'm not surprised that Infinite's going to be at E3. Although I'm curious what they're going to have to show off, because there seems to be, like, my knowledge of what's going on with Halo Infinite feels like a lot of it is just, what would you like Halo Infinite to be? And not so much of, hey, here's what we've got.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious what's actually gonna be there.
I don't know. We'll find out in a couple months.
It's so far away. Didn't I just say it was super close?
It is. It's both. So close, yet so far away.
Sad face.
Anyway, some other news that happened this week. Castlevania Harmony of Despair was added to the Xbox backward compatibility lineup. So only one game this week, but I know it's one that's been highly requested.
Yeah.
And I am excited to hopefully find a couple games of that again. It's been too long since I've played it.
I am not surprised that you have it. You have every game that goes.
Yeah, you shouldn't be surprised.
Not even a little bit.
Dauntless for the Xbox, PS4, and Epic Store has been delayed from its planned April release to later on this summer. The time is to allow Phoenix Labs to, quote, polish gameplay, stress test for scale, and complete additional features in time for launch on console and the Epic Games Store, end quote.
I don't even remember what Dauntless is.
That's the cartoony-looking Monster Hunter clone that's going to have cross-play across everything. I told you Doc Havoc was really into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember now. I don't know how I feel about the whole... I don't know. I wasn't looking forward to it, so I haven't really kept up with it. So it's like, oh, it's been delayed. It's like, well, okay.
Well, some more bad news. Kadokawa Games has announced the RPG Maker MV has been canceled only on Xbox One. It will still arrive on Switch and PS4.
That's so horseshit.
I know. This would have been the first NIS America title to release on Xbox One, but womp womp, no more, as Carnage is saying in chat.
Why? Like, I wish that they were going to cancel it for one console, they had to just ball up and admit to why they did it.
I don't know. They probably don't think it's worth the time and effort of bringing it to Xbox. It just sucks because NIS doesn't release anything on Xbox, and they have so many good games that I would love to see on Xbox. Like, just fucking bring us East 8.
I mean, it's at this point, the argument that Xbox players don't want RPGs is so bullshit and obviously not true by how much everybody begs for more RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't understand the continued aversion by developers. Like, why aren't you trying to get your game in front of more people?
For real.
Weird.
It's stupid and it's maddening. Carnage is saying, yeah, especially with all the Final Fantasy games coming out. But even still, look how many Square Enix titles aren't coming to Xbox. Crystal Chronicles isn't coming to Xbox. Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon isn't coming to Xbox. What was that new, like, Left Behind or whatever shitty shooter that just came out, that just released on PS4? Got horrible reviews, but even that's not on Xbox, and it's a shooter.
A quiet Man, isn't that another one?
God, there's a lot. Square's been a big supporter of Xbox, but not as much as they should be. There are so many other games. Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. You gave us 3. Where's 1 and 2?
Where's 1 and 2? Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't understand the aversion.
I'm going to secretly and quietly open my other soda.
So secret, much quiet. Yes.
Nobody heard a thing. My orange vanilla Coke still. Ah, delicious. Let's see. The latest update for Spyro Reignited Trilogy finally did something that you had a gripe for on your review. It added subtitles.
About goddamn time.
Yeah, it is about goddamn time.
There is no excuse whatsoever for a game to launch this day and age without fucking subtitles.
Seriously.
So thank you.
Oh, Heaven Smile in the chat was asking, when are we going to get a new Alien Soldier asking if I remember? I don't remember Alien Soldier. I'm going to have to look that one up. My old man brain is failing me. Do you remember Alien Soldier?
I have no idea what that is.
Looks to be a run and gun developed by Treasure. Hell yeah. That was on the Mega Drive. Or the Genesis, as the cool kids call them. Anything made by Treasure is quality. I'll say that. It was basically Platinum Games before Platinum Games. Yeah, I could see that. Oh, let's see. What other news? Last bit of news I have is that 2 Konami compilations were recently raided down in Australia. The first one being Konami 50th Anniversary Collection Arcade Classics. Mm-hmm. And the second being Castlevania Anniversary Collection. Both got ratings, but both are still unannounced games. So let's hope they are worthwhile collections if they do exist.
What would be in them?
Games.
Oh, okay.
Konami,
I'm a little upset. There was an opportunity to say dicks there and you let it go.
I'm going to assume that the Arcade Classics collection is going to be a compilation of their older arcade titles. It'd be amazing if they got some of the licensed stuff on there, but I doubt that'll happen.
Doubt it.
The Castlevania Anniversary Collection, I would love to see some of the... like the older handheld Game Boy titles make it, like the Game Boy Advance Game Boy titles that were all in the vein of Circle of the Symphony of the Night. I can't talk. Haven't smiled. How many Funko Pops do you got? Like 20, I think. Which isn't bad. That's not a lot of Funko Pops.
I have two.
Which two?
Michonne and Daryl from The Walking Dead.
Mm.
Somebody gave them to me.
I'm excited because I have all four of the Funko Pops for Emperor's New Groove.
Ah, oh, I love Emperor's New Groove.
I know. I love Emperor's New Groove so much.
Alice was going through the house the other day and she's like, you threw off my groove. I realized I just slipped and said her name. Oh, well.
Heaven Smile says reasonable. That's fine. I'm glad I have your approval on how many Funko Pops I own. Yeah, Funko Pops are the one thing I never really got super into. I do regret not buying the CM Punk Funko Pop when I had the chance, because that son of a bitch is worth a lot of money now.
Oh, yeah. I want a Bob Ross one.
Did they make Bob Ross ones?
They did, yeah. Nice. I'm basically like, that's the only other one that I would actually... No, I lie. They have ones for the Crow, too, and I wouldn't mind to have those, but because I'm a dark nerd.
No.
I'm edgy.
You're an edge lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to have a CM Punk one. I would... Oh, man. And they had a Hot Topic exclusive one with pink trunks that's even harder to find. CM Punk was always a lamer Jeff Hardy to me. Ouch. We're getting into wrestle talk. You're getting confused, aren't you?
Yeah, I just kind of glossed over.
You just zoned out.
Don't know who these people are, but I'm fine.
Well, that's the news I have. Anything you want to talk about?
No, all I had was the Xbox stuff that I'd wrote down, because, I don't know, I did a bad job this week. I'm a horrible co-host.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm charming as fuck.
There was also talk of GameStack, a new platform that Microsoft is working on for game developers that just includes a bunch of different tools that Microsoft owns all compiled into one. And the big thing here is that it's going to be available for mobile, so iOS and Android could get Xbox Live for any game if they wanted using this GameStack technology. And it also supports Nintendo Switch and PlayStation.
Oh.
So Microsoft is making development tools for Switch and PlayStation. How interesting is that?
That's pretty nuts.
I wonder if anyone will actually make use of it on other platforms.
There's always going to be the one person that tries. I mean, look when they were trying to get cross-play taken care of and Rocket League was not... No, we had this from the beginning. All we got to do is hit a button, you know? So there's always going to be somebody that tries, whether or not the higher-ups are going to allow it.
Yeah.
There's always going to be somebody going, oh, no, we just got to push a button. That works. It's fine.
Heaven Smile in chat is asking about how excited you are for Sekiro coming out next week.
I don't even know what it is.
Really?
Yeah.
From Software and Activision?
Nope.
Wow. Well, I'm excited for it. I have my collector edition pre-ordered at GameStop. I was amazed.
I'm assuming it's a game.
Yes.
What kind? Like
Stealth Souls.
That's probably why, I don't know.
Ninja Souls. It's a Souls-like game.
I mean, I'm down for ninjas, but Ninja Souls-like is... All I'm hearing is stupid fucking hard. Like, as soon as somebody says a game is Souls-like, it's like, not turtle-friendly.
Hey, there's a question for you. Did you beat Devil May Cry 5 yet?
I have not, but I have it installed and I'm hoping to get time with it this weekend. I love Devil May Cry. I cannot wait to play it.
I'm surprised you didn't fire it up yet.
I just have not had time.
Too busy with The Division?
That, and I've had a couple art commissions I've had to take care of. Bitches gotta get paid.
True.
So I had a
bitches big, do gots to get paid.
I had a big 22 by 36 painting and I was trying to, get a couple of paintings taken care of. There was a local gallery. I say local. It's in my hometown where my sister still lives. they were doing a women's only art show for women's, you know, Women's History Month or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I was going to try to get a couple of pieces ready to go for that, but then my time schedule got thrown out of whack with number three. So I didn't get a chance to do that, but I had a couple larger painting I was working on. Sad face. Maybe next month I can get them put in there, but I'm not in any rush. Now this weekend I'm going to be like The Vision and Devil May Cry, and that's where I'm at. I literally, the other day I messaged my sister and I was like, cause we joke that there's a 3-text rule. If she sends me 3 messages on Facebook and I don't answer, I can guarantee you she's going to call within 30 seconds of that last message.
Yeah, that's happened on the show before.
Look, that 3-message rule is real. And I love her, but she is. Whew. Look, it was bad enough tonight that David was like, let me just go ahead and take the phone in the bedroom. Because she was sitting here 10 minutes before we were supposed to start. Ding, 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 ding. I can't type that fast.
Oh my God.
I don't know how she does it. But I messaged her and I was like, I love you, but I'm not going to be answering messages because I'm very distracted. I'm saving Washington, D.C. She still interrupted me a couple times, but it was way better than it normally could have been if I hadn't have warned her.
Oh God.
So, struggle is real.
It very much is.
Facebook's sitting here blinking right now because I've got messages from her I haven't answered yet.
Well, so we don't take up your entire night, should we jump into reviews?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right. First game to talk about tonight is called Hell Warders. Hell is developed by Anti-Gravity Games Limited. I should probably get all the details out, huh?
Nailed it. Yeah.
Instead of just jumping right to the description. Published by P-Cube, released March 20th on Xbox One for $14.99. Hell is at our gates. Rise up as one of the mighty Hell Wardens, an ancient order of heroes with unique powers and abilities to resist the demon hordes head on, push back wave after wave of Hellspawn with an arsenal of weapons, rip apart their fearsome commanders and powerful hero skills, and deploy your army of knights, archers, and mages to bring the fight back to Hell. Cole, tell us about Hell Warders.
So this is a third-person tactical tower defense, and a demon king has basically busted down the gates to your city and is unleashing the spawn of hell upon your world, and it's up to you to save it by not letting those fucking assholes get to your crystals. You're probably going to be able to keep most of them at bay, but the little roly motherfuckers are going to get to your crystals.
Oh, those rollers. Oh.
Every time. At least one. I don't care what you do.
Fucking rollers.
I don't care what you do. I don't care how you set them up. There's going to be one that gets to your crystal.
There's always one.
There is. Always
fucking one.
The game is broken down into 4 acts. And each act has a couple of levels in it. Each level is laid out basically like a large ass room, and there will be paths where the enemies will have spawn portals that they can come through, and then they'll follow those paths to get to the crystal. And you want to put as many units as possible in between that portal and your crystal. This is where the game kind of gets a little iffy, though. When I was first playing by myself, there was a short little tutorial, and it was like, put shit here and stop stuff. And that was about the extent of the tutorial. And it wasn't until I actually played co-op with Joe that I learned that,
you can upgrade them.
And I would have one level where I had 5 stars, the 5 beacons. So that's how it measures how well you did. So I'd have 5 beacons. And then the next level, I'd have 2 beacons because I just got fucked up. And then the next one, I'd have 5 again, and because I did really well. And it was so random, but it was because I just didn't know that I could be making it easier on myself and upgrading these characters and not just replacing them when they got their shit kicked in.
Yeah, I didn't realize it until a couple battles in as well when I was highlighting a character. I saw it had an arrow for like up to level up and down to remove the guy. Like, son of a bitch, I could enhance these guys and improve them, level them up as I've been playing. Oh, son of a bitch.
Carnage just hit me with the self-imposed hard mode, which it's true. It really was. I was playing, and I was playing on normal. There are two difficulties. There's normal and hard.
You have to beat normal to unlock hard.
You do. I will say, I think that playing alone, the difficulty feels kind of erratic. Like I was saying, I had some levels where I had 5 and then the next would be 2 and the next would be 4 and then 2 and it was back and forth all over the place. Part of that was because I didn't know what I was capable of doing with the upgrades. But the other part was just that it's so all over as far as difficulty goes when you're alone. When you're playing with somebody else, normal is surprisingly easy. Like, we were doing really well playing co-op.
We were just wrecking things.
You can have up to a team of 4. If you've got 4 people there and you can actually set up, the biggest downside is that I don't think that the number of units you could have was scaled. I cannot remember how many we were allowed to have when I played single player versus how much we played co-op.
I think they were the same.
Yeah, it just seemed very difficult to both, like, take an area, split the map up, take an area and, like, monitor just that area, which is the beauty of having a co-op partner is that you're not running back and forth like an idiot across this giant room trying to keep an eye on everything. But when you've got to split how many, you know, troops you've got and trying to make sure you're not overloading one side versus the other, it's a little more difficult in that regard. It would be nicer if it was just like, no, you get to have 10 troops, your co-op partner gets to have 10 troops, the end. Because you do have split budgets. You collect light essences when you destroy the demons, and you can use that light to upgrade your units or buy new ones. So the banks that you have for your light essences, they were separated, and you were able to upgrade your units without affecting how much I had to upgrade mine.
Yeah, I actually think it made it easier because we both got that light essence.
Oh yeah, and we both had a ton of it. There was even one point where you noticed that it stopped dropping it.
Yeah.
I don't know if we maxed out how much we were supposed to get. I think we had every unit. We had as many as we could have, and they were all capped out as far as upgrades go. But, you know, the separate banks made things a lot easier. If they just separate out the units too, it would ease it up in my mind. Although it was definitely way easier to play, and the difficulty didn't feel as erratic.
Carnage asked, do you know if the game adds more enemies the more players you have? I couldn't tell for sure. It felt like it added a little more, but it didn't feel like it was double.
A lot. I thought it was interesting, too. It shows you how many enemies and of what type are going to come through each portal. So if you're better at communicating than I am, you can be like, oh, hey, well, you got popping up over there. You need a couple extra units, you know. I was just like, oh, my people died. They fixed my people.
Yeah. Oh, you had a couple die over there? Tough shit. They're mine now.
Get your own goddamn hammer out and hit something. Shit. That was a fun aspect to it, though. Tower defense games are often not my favorite, because I find that it's incredibly boring while you're waiting for everything to just come through and get attacked. But this one lets you go out and beat shit up too. And so I just had a lot of fun, like, perching up somewhere and just throwing barrels down for the demons to trip over and blow up. They just sit there at the top of the stairs and be like, throw a barrel every 5 seconds. Pew! There you go. Have a barrel. And then watching the demons just come, dun, 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 boom. It was fantastic.
Oh boy.
That was good shit. One other thing that I liked about it is that you earned, not necessarily skill points, but kind of like skill points that you could attribute to both your character and to your units.
Yeah, so the beacons that you earn. We mentioned that you can earn up to 5 beacons per level. Those are basically your skill points.
Yeah, so the more of those that you'd earned, the more points you could attribute to your characters and stuff. So you could actually make it to where even without paying your light essence to upgrade your units, you could still go in and have some that were going to do some serious damage. If you wanted to put your points into that, or you could put them straight into your character and just sit up there and throw barrels down all day like I did.
Play it as a hack and slash.
Yeah.
I don't recommend.
No, I dropped my cooldown though a lot on those barrels and they just throwing them everywhere. They were amazing.
Nice.
But it was so much fun. I thought it was really solid when we were playing online. I had one issue with lag, but I think that may be more a case of the weather affecting our internet today.
Yeah, because you said, whoa, holy lag. And I said, I didn't experience anything. You didn't have anything.
So it was, and other than that, it was super fast. It was really good. I was very...
Sounds like Eternal Rage was the Donkey Kong of Hell Warders.
It really was. I was just sitting at the top of the stairs, just letting them roll. I had entirely too much fun with that. But yeah, it's definitely one of those that I think if you were playing it co-op with a full team of four, I don't even think hard mode would be that much of a hassle. I think you could get through it pretty easily.
Well, we'll find out because I see myself playing a lot more of this.
Yeah, I'll happily play it again.
So $15 on it. What's your verdict?
I give it a buy it. I had a lot of fun. I really did. It was a little tough to get started, but once you learned the tricks and knew what you were doing, it was enjoyable.
I give it a recommended try. I think if you're playing this by yourself, you're going to have fun with it, but it might be a bit on the difficult side trying to micromanage everything. If you're playing this with friends, you're going to have a blast.
Absolutely.
Next game to talk about, and I'm sorry if I butcher the name of this one. Tide Vog for Niemand, developed and published by Scubajack Games, released March 22nd on Xbox One and Windows 10 for $9.99 and is a Play Anywhere title. Oh. Manipulate time to your will at any moment to solve challenges, avoid deadly traps, and make it to the end of this strange journey. Tide Vog for Niemand is an indie abstract adventure filled with mystical environments that will put your abilities to the test and engage you in a world of mystery and wonder. Cole, tell us about this one.
So this is, excuse me, all choked up about it too. So this is from the same developers as Envelor Versant.
So you know where the name is kind of weird.
It's Africans. It's an African language. Yeah. A-F-R-I-K-A-A-N-S is what I have wrote down. Yeah. So
it translates to time waits for nobody.
Right. So it doesn't. Just go ahead and throw that out there. Time waits. Definitely not for you. This is not necessarily a walking simulator like in Valor Versand was, where you have just an area with a puzzle and you walk toward it and that's the end. There's a little more meat on the bones here. You play as a there's not really any kind of description as to what you are, but you're a character that's been sent on a mission to find a science team that's gone missing in Antarctica. You have very little in the way of information to start with. I don't feel like you really get much information, period, this game. There are little communications moments where, you know, a generic headquarters office will, you know, tell you what you're doing, that, you know, you're going to get this science team and you need to go to this certain area, and it's all very vague. I'm also trying not to give away spoilers. So once you get to the first area that you're instructed to go to, though, you lose your connection to HQ, and how you're going to get out of this massive, unusual, incredibly weird circumstance is a puzzle that's going to require you to bend time. It's so hard to describe this game because it's weird.
I can tell.
Not not weird in a bad way, but weird. So you will find a I don't even know what you call it, some kind of machine type piece on the floor that will let you control time. It's not cut and dry time control. It's not like, oh, I'm going to rewind or fast forward. It's you can slow it down or you can have it be normal and that's it.
Okay.
When you slow it down, though, remember, time waits for nobody. And you only have a limited amount of time that it will stay at that speed. The only way that you will know that time is about to go back to normal is that there's a ticking noise while it is paused or slowed down. And when that tick starts to get faster, then you're about to tip back into real time. There is absolutely nothing on your HUD to indicate that. So there is a downside if you have hearing problems. You may struggle to hear that tick, and it can make the game unplayable, honestly, if you have any kind of hearing impairments, because there is not any way to set up a subtitle for that or anything, which is disappointing. I fussed about subtitles in the past, so we know that some kind of visual indicator would be ideal, but there's no visual indication whatsoever. It's just that tick. You need to be able to slow down time because this is a puzzle platformer. It's also a first-person platformer, which is... there is something very odd about playing a platforming game in a first-person perspective.
Yeah, they're always weird.
And this is no different. Like, there's just always that those little moments you're like, you're not even entirely sure where the camera is located on the character's body and to give you some perspective. So for this one, it kind of feels like it's low, like the camera might be down around the chest or maybe even a little lower. And so it can be a little difficult to gauge where you need to pause things to be to accurately jump it. And there's not any kind of punishment. If you die, you just respawn and do it again. So there's not any points. There aren't any lives. You're not going to run out or find yourself completely set back or any way. It's just frustrating. Oh, well, I thought I'd made it and I didn't. Mm-hmm. So that can be a little bit frustrating, especially as you progress. It gets to a point where even slowing things down isn't enough to always provide you with a solution to where you need to go and how you get there. And you can just find yourself sitting there a good 15, 20 minutes, speeding up, slowing down, just trying to even get an idea of where you need to be or how you're supposed to tackle an actual puzzle. No. So it's definitely a challenge. You're not going to just walk through this and get the achievements and be like, bye. You know, you're going to...
Peace, bitch.
Yeah, you're gonna need some time and practice, because timing some of your jumps and timing when to speed up and when to slow down is one part muscle memory, 10 parts luck. I did enjoy it, but I will say that this is the kind of game that is very niche and quirky. And it's going to appeal to people who like things that are surreal and kind of abstract. If you don't want to be jumping across the hoods of cars and walking along jagged pipes that are spinning in circles, then maybe look elsewhere for a platformer, because this one is just, it's definitely only going to appeal to certain types of people. But I did think, from an artistic standpoint, it was very creative. It was definitely unique. It's definitely going to stick with me for a long time. It's just that it's niche and not for everybody.
Well, then, $10, what would you say?
I do give it a try. I think if you're looking for something that's just a little out of the realm of normal for a game, there it is.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Now say the name of the game.
Tivog Ver Niemand? I don't know. Time Waits for Nobody is the fucking name of the game. I don't know.
Oh, and right on cue, No Time for Games dropping 500 biddies. You know what that means.
Dropping bids!
RGB on your
All over your fucking face! Wet pancakes!
Yes, thank you, George. I love it.
RGB dick slot.
Thank you so much, No Time. You know we always appreciate when you drop the biddies. You brought us, we were nearly at 24% for the biddy-dery fitty my shitty compitty.
That's incredible.
This might happen. Maybe this year, maybe next year. It's a possibility.
That's awesome.
It's a lot more than I thought I would ever get in the first place. So thank you there.
You gotta have a goal.
Indeed. My goal is to have a good show. So that'll never happen.
I mean,
we had a few good ones in there.
We have moments.
462 episodes, about a dozen of them are decent.
Yeah. The ones with dicks in them are pretty good.
Anyway, speaking of, one last game for you to talk about. That's called Miles and Kilo, developed and published by Four Horses. This one's released on March 22nd on Xbox One and Windows 10 for $7.99 and is another Play Anywhere title. Miles and Kilo have been attacked by mischievous. Oh, I know. I'm rocking it today. Mischievous Spectre or Mischievous Spectre, whichever way you like saying it. A dickhead of a Spectre. With their plane in pieces and a gang of thieving scoundrels running off with the important parts, the unfortunate duo's only hope of escape is to embark on a thrilling chase across a haunted island. Cole, tell us about Miles and Kilo.
So this is a 2D side-scrolling platformer. I kind of want to refer to it as a runner or a speed runner, because you definitely want to get through these levels fast. As you said in the summary, that it's a charming story of a boy and his dog who have crash landed and they have to recover the pieces of their plane. It's got some very nostalgic pixel art that will immediately make you think of Mario. Even as soon as David walked by while I was playing, he stopped and he did a double take. He said, "I thought that was Mario." So it's definitely got some homage to Mario in the art style, whether they meant it intentionally or not. It's there. you have an overworld map, which lets you move between each level. There are a few different areas with different themes. You have a desert. You have the very Mario-looking first level. You have some areas that are caves. You've got ice. There's some water levels. There's a lot of variety in the environments. And each area has 7 levels to it. There are 6 of the basic levels, and then you will have 1 boss level. So you'll want to progress through each level, you know, get from A to B without getting spiked, hit by a frog, collecting all the coins, don't jump in fire, don't fall in the water, all your basic platforming stuff. There is a little bit of a twist, though, as basic platformery as it all sounds at this point, there is a bit of a twist. You play primarily as Miles, who is the little boy character, and he can do, you know, your basic jump and slide, and he can throw fruit to knock out the enemies that'll try to get in your way and get you dead. It is one hit death. If you touch anything besides the ground, you're going to start over at the beginning. All the way at the beginning, too. There are no checkpoints. Sucks to be you if you die at the end, like I did 748 times.
Yes.
You will die at the end. Every time.
Yes.
and then go back to the beginning and then...
Car drive again. By.
Yep. there are no cars in this game. I don't know. I didn't make it all the way to the end, so there might be a car. I don't know. I didn't see any while I was there. I will tell you what, though. Did you beat the first boss?
No, I didn't.
Did you make it to the first boss?
I've been working on it. I'm one of those assholes who I need to get all of the stars on the level.
Are you trying to get the S ranks?
Yes.
Okay, so here's the thing for the sake of the review. You get a letter grade based on how you play the levels. There is a part-time that you must get. There is a certain amount of coins per level, and you need to collect them all. And you can have 5 fruit. If you throw your fruit to take out an enemy, though, you need to get another one to replace it, and you need to have 5 fruit in your inventory when you get to the end of the level.
Yeah.
You need to get all of those, and also I think it's no deaths, isn't it?
I don't think it matters, because when you die, it just restarts.
It does keep track of how many times you die.
Yeah, just to show how bad you are.
Yeah, and there's an achievement for finally completing a level after you've died 25 times.
Yes.
I got that very early. The first boss, which I was trying to get to, though, my first thought when I got to it was, oh, Joe's not going to be happy that he has to fight against this. It's a black cat.
Oh, no. Kitty.
Yeah. So you have to defeat the cat to get, I think it's the battery. No, that's the rock monster.
Kitty.
It's a part for your plane. Anyway, each boss is holding it, and you will need to actually defeat them. How you do that is different for each level. One, for instance, like I said, was a rock boss, and I had to punch rocks at him whenever the opportunity arose.
Arose.
Arose. Another one was a mummy, and you had to grab a hold of the chain and pull him into the chain without getting hit by the ball of spikes. There's an odd thing about this game in that it's deceptive in how difficult it is. It's hard. And yet when you're playing it, you don't feel like it's hard. Everything looks so light and cartoony, and there's so much time between the objectives, like, oh, I need to duck here or climb on this wall or jump over that you have a few minutes to sit and not minutes, a few seconds to kind of like look at it and get a grasp of what you got to do. And yet somehow you still will fuck it up because you're still trying to do it fast.
Yeah, because if you want that part time, you basically have to hold right and never let go.
Right.
You want the part times.
Even then, I found there were times where I was like, wow, I got through that so fast. And then the counter would come up and I would be 1 second over, or I'd be within a half a second of it. And I just wanted to break something. Yeah, I was like, I was so close. Why can't they just add 1 second to these fucking times? What is this? Absolutely incredibly rude and heartbreaking to be like 0.3 tenths of a second away from a part time and get an A instead of an S.
That's what happens when you stop and think.
Oh, thinking is for pussies. You know what's incredibly funny about it is that number 3 was watching me play. She's standing there. She's like, oh, I could play this. This is super easy. I could play this with my eyes closed. And I'm like, you know, she played Super Meat Boy. She probably could.
I'm then you're fine. Like, you fucking try it.
Right? I was like, well, then tell your sister to download it on her Xbox. Ah! I'm sitting there like, my wrist hurts. I've done this level 18 times already. I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, God.
Back to the differences between the characters. So sometimes you play as Miles. That's your primary character to play as. And he does do the basic stuff. But occasionally, Miles will come across Kilo chilling out in a level, and then you grab his leash, and he takes over running like the speed of fucking light, and you no longer have the ability to, like, move as freely as you could. When you're playing as Miles, you decide if you go to the right or not. You can go backward. You can go up, and you can go and search for coins that you've missed or whatever. When you've got control of Kilo, it just goes, whether you lay it or not. He does have the added ability, though, of being able to target and home in on an enemy and then bounce off of him. But this is where I had my greatest gripe of the game. The jump button is mapped to A and B. And the game is very adamant that you should be using B for jump. I don't care. It's mapped to A. I'm an Xbox player, and I use A. I want to jump, pressing A. God damn it. I don't care if B is mapped to it. B's an uncomfortable button. I want to use B. Now, to home in on something, you press Y. If you press Y and hold the jump button, then you do a longer jump, and you can clear a larger gap. If you're trying to hold, press Y and hold A, your thumb is not having any of that shit.
Doesn't X work the same as Y?
X throws or punches.
Mm.
So I don't think X homes in with Kilo.
Thought it did.
But I was definitely trying to use Y and A, and I hated myself. And I found that I immediately just had to train myself to use Y and B whenever I was Kilo. Otherwise, I couldn't do it. I was not making those jumps holding Y and A at the same time. It had to be Y and B, or I wasn't going to get through the level.
I'm pretty sure X works the same way as Y, because the triggers are the same.
Again. The triggers are the same, and that does help. Although, I'm pretty sure it's just a two-button game. Just kind of hooked to the face buttons instead, because I think I would have been doing better if I could have got myself adjusted to the triggers instead. But I was just so frustrated trying to hold Y and A. I was like, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this. And then I forced myself to start using Y and B, and I was like, no, I'm fine. It's still a little more difficult, but it's not as hard as trying to hold Y and A.
Yeah.
And that was really my only real complaint about the game. Otherwise, I was like, man, I'm having a blast with this. I don't usually make it this far in speedrunning and platforming games when they're this difficult. Normally, I'm like, fuck this. I'm done. I did just enough to not feel bad about it. But not for this one. I was really enjoying myself, and I want to go back and finish more. And I think this might be my unsolicited pick of the week.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like, I just, look at you. I don't know why, I just really was into it, and I loved all the art, and normally I'm like, more pixel games, because it's just a thing, pixel art has just kind of taken over all indie games lately.
True.
But it's just like, no, I really enjoyed pretty much every aspect of this game. It was enjoyable, and I had a good time.
Well, do I even need to ask your opinion for $8 then?
Buy it.
Sounds good.
Yay.
Hooray. Well, that is it for you, Cole. We have we have a couple more reviews to take care of, but those are with Mr. Tim Ekibis that I'm going to bring on just as soon as you sneakily disappear.
I'm disappearing now. Bye.
All right. We are closing out the show with our good friend Tim Ekibis. Tim, how are you doing?
Hey, yo.
One more for the good guys.
One more for the guy. Good guys. You know who I am. You don't know why I'm here.
Hey, Chico.
I am literally taking over the rest of the show, I guess.
You are.
The end. Taking you over. Are. I've been reading an excellent book on the history of Monday Nitro recently.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, it's good. I don't know. I feel like I've read and watched a tremendous amount of content regarding that particular era, but it's a hell of a book.
What's the name of it?
Just simply Nitro.
I will have to look that up on Amazon.
Yeah it's hang on, I should cite the author like a good person. Nitro. It's not good. There it is. Nitro by Guy Evans. Yeah, it
that
is.
Sounds like a fake name.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. I guess it came out, was it? Really? It came out last year? Weird. Anyways, maybe it was out on ebook last year. Yeah, it's like almost 600 pages. It is very well researched and like interviews, and it is thorough. It's a hell of a read.
Damn.
Yeah.
You're getting me excited for a book I don't have yet. So how have you been? How's things?
Good. What's going on over here? Good. Yeah, I just wish I had more time to play video games. Really. Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, it's been a couple weeks. I've been hard at the grindstone of reviewing these games we're going to talk about here tonight. Did a video shoot over the weekend.
Nice.
Yeah. trying to, yeah, good stuff. Good stuff going on. Good couple of weeks.
Good all around.
Yeah.
I'm hoping we could say the same about the games you're about to review.
Oh, man.
That scares me.
I mean, well, here we go.
Well, don't be too mean.
I won't. I never am. Am I? Come on, let's go.
All right. First game that you're here to talk about is called Assault Android Cactus Plus, developed and published by our friends at Witchbeam Games, released March 8th on the Switch for $19.99. When you're running on battery, make every second count. Experience an arcade-style twin-stick shooter set in a vivid sci-fi universe. Junior Constable Cactus is outside her pay grade when she responds to a distress call and ends up stranded on a crippled space freighter under attack by its own robot workers. Tim, make sense of that.
Man, well, let me just get this straightened out right ahead. This game is about an android named Cactus, not an android Cactus. And that really threw me off right off the bat. I was like, oh, I was expecting to be a plant. Guess not.
Research.
I guess so. I didn't look closely enough at the screenshots to actually see what you were in the game. Assault Android Cactus. This is a game that came out 2015, actually. I thought it was more recent than that. But it's not. Surprise. So it's been around. You know, I've kind of heard good things about it, but obviously didn't even know that you don't play as a cactus. So that's egg on my face. This is a really nice twin stick shooter game. You got 25 levels, 25 levels. Five bosses, playing through the campaign once was 2-3 hours long for me. But man, it's a lot of fun. It's like, it says something about a game when I get the code on Sunday and I'm like ready to review it on Tuesday, because that means that I actually really enjoyed playing it.
That's all you did for two whole days.
That's with my Switch anyways.
Sleep, cactus, repeat.
Indeed. It feels really good. It plays really well. I was pretty impressed with just how smoothly it ran on the Switch. Like, there's no frame rate drops or like hitching. It's just like, even with tons of shit on the screen, tons of enemies, tons of bullets moving around independently, like it just looks great and moves nice and smooth like the whole time.
I love how you just jump around in your brain.
Well, I'm jumping around in my notes as things come up. So yeah, you got these levels, and I think. When I think about twin stick shooters and like kind of single player content, I mean, obviously like the genre has kind of been around for a minute at this point. Really, if you want to go back to Robotron, but more recently, you know, kind of Geometry Wars took off and there was a ton of stuff on Xbox Live. And I remember playing like Geometry Wars, and then when Geometry Wars Galaxies came out for Wii, I was like, yeah, sweet, like just a bunch of single player Geometry Wars content to grind through. And I actually never really made it that far in that game. And same with Geometry Wars 3. Like, just like the way they designed their single player content just didn't grab me. Like, you know, they put you on kind of these static fields and there'd be kind of like some kind of a gimmick to each level. But it just, I don't know, it was just like, it was fine, it was okay. But like Assault Android Cactus, I think, really does a great job of making things interesting and fun to play on every single level. Like, there is no level that is, maybe like the first level is just like kind of a static room with some walls, but beyond that you have like walls that are moving, hazards that are appearing, floor that is forming itself under you as you go around, floors with pits in the middle, floors with like other weapons that you can use, just like all kinds of crap going on in every single level beyond just like obviously tons of robots trying to kill you. But, you know, it's really awesome sometimes when you're just like blasting your way down this corridor and the corridor is like breaking away behind you. It just makes things like way more dynamic and exciting than just like constantly just like, okay, well, we're going to put you on a, a dynamic plane, you know, just a static plane here and just like, okay, here's some walls and it's different. Okay. No, it's just like, no, every level is unique and fun to play on. Possibly the best thing about this game is there is like 10 different characters to play as. You start out with 4, you unlock more as you go. And each one has a completely different weapon set. You get like a main weapon and a sub weapon that works on a cooldown in the sense that it overheats. If you use it a bunch all at once, then you got to put it away and et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, each character has a different set of weapons, which, and they're all pretty fun to play. Like I tried out everybody. I definitely have my handful of favorites. So I played a lot of the game as Starch. It's the name of the character, Starch, who just has like a laser and micro missiles. Towards the end, you unlock a character called Peanut, who just has a magma thrower, which was a lot of fun.
Oh, boy.
And her like super sub weapon was this like charging drill attack that was a lot of fun. But there's good variation to it. Like there's one girl who has a like she throws out a helicopter drone. And you got to kind of like tap the button to keep it like moving away and towards you to like cut through enemies. What's this crap? Yeah, delete my previous version of Windows. Sure.
Wait, what?
my Windows upgraded. It did a feature update last week, and now it's like, hey, do you want to delete the old Windows? Yes, of course I do.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, you got fun levels. You have different characters to try out and have fun with. And yeah, just playing through the kind of your standard campaign was a lot of fun unto itself. Oh, but there's more.
Do tell. So
this game is actually Salt Android Cactus Plus. The Switch release is the Plus is a campaign plus mode, which is basically a harder difficulty for the campaign. Though it's not just like, oh, bullets do more damage and enemies have more health. It's more like we're going to change the enemy mobs on every stage. So it actually is a much more, it's a different playthrough than your first one, along with being harder. So that's cool. That's a solid piece of replay right there. Beyond that, you have an infinite mode, which just spawns enemies infinitely until you die. There's a boss rush. There's a daily challenge mode. This game has leaderboards, online leaderboards to check your scores.
Hooray.
Remember, I didn't know that for Ape Out, but it didn't. So yeah, it's a really good, fun, well playing package.
Well then $20 for it. What do you say?
Yeah, I recommend it. Yeah, absolutely. Buy it. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, it's a really fun twin stick shooter game. I really got no hand to raise against it.
And now it's on pretty much everything. So if you have any form of gaming system, you should own this game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good yeah. stuff. All right. Next game to talk about is called Hard West, developed by Creative Forge Games, published by Forever Entertainment, released March 7th on the Switch for $17.99. Welcome to the Wild West as you've never seen before. Follow Warren on his descent into the darkest recesses of the human soul and try to survive in a world full of hard choices and even harder consequences.
Sure.
Because in this world, death is a constant presence, and the black packs which you make with forces beyond human comprehension will forever haunt all those around you. Tim, tell us about it.
All right, Hard West. Man, this game. So it's like a historical fiction Old West tactical RPG. Think the combat basically is like XCOM, in that you have your characters taking cover and rootin' tootin' shooting in each other, and that's kind of the base for the game, and there is like out of combat stuff that you do as well. So you just think, you know, basic, you know, the most recent XCOM, basic that model. That's what you're thinking about here is a point of reference. The game is broken down into different scenarios. So each scenario kind of has its own unique mechanics and characters and map locations. It seems like there's some things that, you know, like gun shop, or, you know, trader, you know, some stuff that's kind of common, though it might appear in different places on the map. But, you know, there's different locations to explore, and each one will kind of have its own overarching mechanic to it. So in the first one you play, your family is Warren, the aforementioned Warren. You and your dad have broken down on the Oregon Trail. You're heading for Oregon and things didn't work out and your mom died. Sorry. Spoiler.
Oh no.
So you start doing some gold prospecting to try to, start earning up money to get back on the Oregon Trail. So that's kind of like the thing in the first scenario is like, okay, learn, you know, going to locations to try to get gold and like improving your gold prospecting tools and stuff like that to get more money. There's one where the main mechanic is murder. Things in Warren's life take a turn pretty quick here. So then like one of the next scenarios, it's just like one of the sub goals is just kill 100 people. Okay, man, geez. There's another guy who's like a scientist. So you want to, build up his ability for like gunsmithing and alchemy and stuff like that. So each character kind of has his own like specialization and that kind of dominates their particular little chapter. So that's cool. Campaigns, like there's about 10 or so in the main game, and then there's like packed in DLC stuff. And each, I'll get to it. So yeah, unique scenarios, da 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 da. And yeah, I mentioned the scenarios are kind of, split between adventuring and combat. So the adventure is when you're going around the map. So there's different spots you can visit. Some are optional. Some will give you like little side quests, and they'll have different events where you might be able to build up your posse a little bit, or you know, some kind of bad luck will befall you, or you'll find items and stuff like that. You know, and yeah, some events out there. I don't know, man. It's like, maybe I'll just save all the criticism for the end. So then there's like the tactics portion, right? So like XCOM, but with generally fewer options. So usually you don't have a lot of party members. Sometimes it's like I think the most I had was 4, and that was in one particular scenario. Usually it's like 2 or 3, sometimes even 1. So you don't really have like a huge number of characters you're going into combat with. And this is where things start to get a little complicated, or there's a lot to explain here. So yeah, you'll recognize it's like, okay, you target a guy and you have a certain percent chance to shoot them and it'll tell you how much damage you're going to do. Yeah. Cover in this game not only mitigates like your chance of hitting an enemy, but also the amount of damage you do. So even if you're aiming at somebody, if they're around some cover, if they have good cover to you, they not only do you have a poor chance of hitting them, if you even hit them, you'll only do like 1 damage in some instances, which can lead to some really dumb scenarios where it's difficult for you to actually get an angle to finish the guy off. And you're just like trying to like plink away at him. Like you're not getting that big satisfying finishing shot of just like, okay, I hit a low percentage shot, I did a bunch of damage, and he's dead. It's like, no, I hit a low percentage shot and it only did 1 damage. Nah. But then it's like you flank around and you take your shot, and you know, you hit or you don't, but then I got into a really, there was one particular really dumb scenario where like the guy was in a building, like behind a bookshelf or something like that, and my guy was out front, and I had another guy who was flanking outside who couldn't really get a good angle on the bookshelf. So, like, like my character and the enemy character are just, like, going back and forth from one end of the bookshelf to the other. Or, like, I'm outside going to one side of a window. The guy's inside going to one side of the bookshelf, just, like, going back and forth for, like, 4 turns, just, like, trying to plink shots at each other.
Oh, God.
And it was just, like, this is just kind of silly. Part of that is they have this luck mechanic, which is good and bad. It's good because so if an enemy takes a shot at you and you have like each character has a different amount of luck. And it's like literally there's a luck meter. So you might have like 90 luck or 160 luck. All right. So if your luck exceeds their percent chance of hitting you, they won't hit you and they'll take down your luck instead.
Hmm.
Right. So that's cool. That's neat. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Your luck also plays into how it's basically also your magic, quote unquote, like your mana. It's what you would expend in order to use abilities. So there's supposed to be like a risk reward there that's like, oh, do I want to sacrifice my luck in order to use one of these more powerful abilities that I have? In practice, it's just probably like, well, I've already been shot at a few times. I have no luck and I never get to use these abilities. Like in playing this game for a few hours, I used one ability.
Oh,
there
God.
Was one instance where I had enough luck and the ability was applicable and that I used it and it worked. I'm like, man, that felt good.
If only I could do that more.
If only I could do that more. And it's backed up. Oh, my God. This is, like, one of the coolest things about the game is that you get, after various battles, you get, like, playing cards. And you equip those playing cards on your characters to give you various bonuses. And that's usually where, like, those skills come from, is, like, this card will give you a bonus to this. And it'll also give you this skill where it's, like, you target every enemy in sight. But it only does like 2 damage, which isn't a ton of damage, but it'll hit everybody for 2. Like, that's cool. That's the one I used. That's why I remember it. But the neat thing is, so each character has 5 card slots, and if you equip like a poker hand, like a straight or a flush or, you know, a poker hand, like 2 pair, they get a bonus. They get a bonus on top of that. That's so that's cool. It is super freaking cool. One of the big problems I have with this game is the scenarios are not long enough that, like, any of this stuff gets a chance to matter. So, like, there was one time where it's like, I got a good, poker hand on one of my characters. Like, I got everyone equipped up nice and real good. And then there was one more battle in that scenario, and then it was on to the next one, and nothing carries over.
Oh, man.
Like, you spend this time doing, like, gold prospecting and science, and that stuff, it just goes away after you're done with that scenario. Like, you know, you can buy guns and buy equipment and sub-items for your characters, but once you get to the end of the scenario, it's gone. It just goes away. So it's like, instead of feeling like I'm building up these characters and making them better, at a certain point, I was just, like, not really bothering. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to get you guys, like, a couple better guns. And I wasn't really engaging as much with kind of, like, trying to do science or murder. It was kind of like, whatever.
Why would you want to when nothing matters?
Well, I mean, it matters, but it doesn't matter for long enough, in my opinion. Like, especially when you're, like, in the very first campaign, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, I'm managing my money and I'm trying to, you know, equip my crew and whatnot. And then it's just like, it was just all gone. I was kind of like, okay. All right. That was just, it just made me so sad because it's like, especially when it came to, like the card equipping thing, like it was just such a bummer after, like, I felt like I was getting the hang of it. And then that campaign, that scenario was over and it was on to the next one. And I didn't have any cards again. It was just like, man, what a bummer right here. The other problem and why I kind of guffawed at the beginning is, when it comes to making, you know, choices in this game, I really felt like there was not any choices that really mattered, when it came down to it. Like, there was just like a general lack of choice in general when it comes to, I guess side stuff first. Like, yes, there are some of those kind of, side event things, like they will have choices in them. It's like, okay, well, do you want to shoot this guy or not shoot this guy? Like, okay, there's a binary dynamic there that can go one way or the other. There's other instances though, where I remember there's one where the event is like, I come across a guy, I think he was in like a train car and there's like blood everywhere. Right. And he's this only guy alive and he just pops up and he's like, hi, I'm Dr. Such and Such. Like, I could be of great use to you. And there's no option there. You just leave. And I'm like,
huh?
Okay. Like it, like we're just gonna, like, it seems like there should have been something there. Like there's a lot of instances like that where there's like an event and it just didn't feel like I could do anything with it. And when it comes to like the main overarching story, what it feels like, and how I describe it to my wife, it feels like when you're playing D&D and you have a DM that spent like all week crafting, like meticulously crafting, like, this story, and he knows exactly how it wants to go. And no matter what you do as the player, like, he's gonna steer you sometimes harshly, sharply back onto that path, regardless of what you do. And it just didn't really feel like when it came to decisions and like events that really mattered, like I had any agency over it. There, in that first scenario, you're kind of you're Warren, you have your father with you, who is called Father, and like your sweetheart. And they're like, your father is making these decisions where he's like, I'm going to buy this cursed amulet. And then like it, you know, the amulet breaks and then your family is cursed. And then when you're trying to break the curse, your father gets overcome with guilt and leaves, which was super confusing because I was in a church trying to get the curse lifted. And I was like, and like suddenly Father, quote unquote, starts talking about how he let your family down and did all this bad stuff. And I'm like, man, the priest here is really oversharing. and then he was gone. I was like, oh, like my dad, like that guy, that father was the one who left. Like, oh shit. That is really unfortunate. And then same scenario, you get to like what's basically the end of that chapter and your homestead. Well, it's like, okay, so along that road, I found like an escaped slave, and he was like, you can either kick him to the curb or ask him to say you'll shelter him if he helps out around your farm. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I will shelter you because slavery is bullshit. So yeah, go chill at my house. And then it's like, I go back to my house when it's under attack, and he's just leaving. So really what I did with him just had no impact on anything. One. Yeah. Two, you're fighting these guys off that are like burning down your homestead and all up in your house, and you're shooting them. And after you get through like shooting like five of them, the narrator who was deaf, by the way, comes over. He's just like, oh, what you didn't know at the time is they were, the corrupt local government had eminent domained your house to the railroad company. And these guys actually had a reason to be there, and you're murdering them all. And you're just raising the bounty on your head. I'm like, oh, that's great.
God.
Thanks for the gotcha moment. I mean, like, whatever. It's the way the story goes. But it was just kind of like, okay, you got me. And then, you know, the next chapter opens with Warren, like screwing over some dude in a card game. And then, like, oh, his guys are there to kill you. And you're stuck inside the saloon. And it's just kill as many of them until you're dead. Take as many of them with you as you can. Which, because they all had cover around me and weren't taking a lot of damage, I just kind of stood out there and let them shoot me to death.
Oh boy.
At which point you then make a pact with the devil and become some demon killing machine guy, not a killer of demons, but you yourself are rather dark and demonic. So it just felt like the story and the scenarios were just hustling me on into the direction that, you know, the developers wanted the game to go in and wanted me to see, except that it felt like I should have had some degree of agency with just like kind of with when they lay out those choices for you and when you have these options for going and doing these events. And it just, at the end of the day, it just felt like, okay, they're just going to do what they're going to do. Like, no scenario is long enough for me to really want to bother to like build up my party and feel good about it. And it just was really unsatisfying in the end. Damn. Well, which is a bummer because it seems like a pretty like cool idea. Like, yeah, say, you know, dark. I like the whole digging into, you know, dark Americana, whatever, you know, pioneering history. Like, that's fun stuff. It's a cool setting. It's a cool idea. You know, I love XCOM. Like, anywhere games like that are great. And just at the end of the day, it was just like, okay, well, man, this game is just doing what it's going to do. And I'm not having enough fun with the combat to like carry me along, you know, feel good about carrying along through it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like a mixed bag. So I got to know, $18 on it. What do you think?
I will deny Hard West. I think it's probably a better game than the experience that I had, but the experience I had was not great. And that's what I got to go with.
What could they do to improve it?
I just like, man, I want the scenarios to have like more room to breathe, to like spend time, you know, in a particular character situation and really like, you know, interact with those mechanics, like have more time with the combat to like build out, you know, my characters. Because, you know, in that one shining moment where I was like able to, you know, pop off that ability and like, you know, there was moments where like it felt good, like, okay, here's me, I'm using the mechanics, you know, to their fullest extent. It just came up so infrequently that it was just, Needs more of that. Just needs more room to breathe within those scenarios, in my opinion. Just more like stuff. It just felt like it was hustling me along.
No, well, they can't all be winners.
No. And to some people, it certainly might be a winner, but not to this guy.
It still sounds interesting. I might check it out if it hits a sale or something.
It is interesting.
Because it looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, man, I didn't fucking mention. Oh.
All right,
so when real quick, when I was talking to you like last week and I was like super mad, it's because certain characters, if they die during combat, you fail the scenario. Man, I'm just remembering like three things about this game that just make me mad that I didn't write down. I won't go over all of them, but it was just like, come on, man. Like, it's when you're relying so much on percentages and you're overwhelmed and guys can flank you. And it was just like so frustrating because in one particular battle, like both the characters were integral and needed to live and they're both getting shot dead. There's just there's no defensive options. There's no like basic defensive option in combat to just like hunker down or like the Overwatch thing from XCOM. So, and I feel like that's super limiting. And the enemies have something like that because if you walk too close to them, they'll just shoot you dead. And you don't seem to have an equivalent ability in your, like, I don't even want that, but just like something to punish them for running up on my face or something to give me better cover, you know? I was just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Anyway, final game to talk about tonight is called Crimson Keep, developed by Team Crimson, published by Merge Games, released March 6th on Xbox One and PS4 for $19.99. Crimson Keep is a first-person action RPG. Descend in an ever-changing labyrinth full of monsters, traps, and treasure. Locate the sunken remains of an ancient castle and cleanse it. The great power you find within could be your only hope of escape. Tim, tell us about it.
Oh, man. Crimson Keep. Whew. This game feels like it should be in early access. That doesn't seem like a nice thing to say, but it's nicer than putting things certain other ways. It is a first person, you know, kind of roguish likeish thing, and that you drop into this dungeon, and outside of the tutorial level that they make you play every single time you start a new game, like the arrangements of the rooms and the enemies thereafter change every time. So you can't, you know, rely on anything. You got to kind of think on your feet and all that jazz and take what you're given. The problem is there's a few problems. If my voice would hold out for the next 10 minutes, that would be great.
Just mime the rest of it.
I'll tap it out in Morse code.
Morse code.
So yeah, there's only three classes to choose from. There's like your basic fighter, there's a basic mage, and then there's a guy who sucks intentionally. It's like fight magic and then difficult. The game looks okay, not great. Like it almost kind of looked like this game almost reminds me of like some random Dreamcast game that I would have burned in like 2000. Would just like it's everything looks like clean and sharp, but it's very simplistic. So that's like sometimes that's like what Dreamcast is to me. Like everything looks sharp, but like it's early 2000s, so there's only so many characters and polygons that can be on screen at the same time in some of those games. People might resonate with that. They might not.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just a stylistic choice.
It is a stylistic choice. So is having your character have these weird disembodied hands. That was just a weird thing. Like your animations for like attacking are pretty slow. When you use a sub item like a potion or something, those are really slow. Your character levels up as you go and you can unlock abilities. Your abilities do not have a great amount of graphical detail to them, and nor are they that distinguished from one another. Like your warrior gets like either like this frost blast. It's a warrior, sure. Or he throws like a poison axe, and they like it was a while of like throwing that poison axe that I was like, oh, I can see I'm actually throwing something out there, because like it just looked like when I was using frost, like, okay, there's like blue on my hand, and on the poison one, it's like, oh, there's green on my hand. Like I wasn't seeing like, okay, here's an axe in my hand and I throw it, or, you know, something. It's just kind of like particle dust. You have no jump. There's just kind of like a weird little dash that you have for that you can use to dash forward or back. And it's just like doesn't really play very well, like especially like when you're in combat and especially when you get surrounded by like a bunch of enemies, like you're just screwed.
Yeah.
Like you have this slow motion, like kunk, you know, swipe with your hand and you have to kind of like, you know, move in, hit, move out, move in, hit, out. And when there's more than one enemy around, it's just like, it's a freaking nightmare to try to deal with. But it just doesn't feel like there is, it just doesn't feel like there's like enough in this game yet to say like, this is done and this is out as a finished product. Like, this feels like something, like I said, early access. It's like, okay, well, you're going to add more classes to this, right? And you're going to add more items to drop in the levels, right? And you're like, you're going to tune how, like the feel of doing, let's say, any action, right? like any action with the hands in particular, like you're going to tune that so it feels like a bit better and not so sluggish and that like you have a better chance in combat. Like you're going to work on this stuff, right? And it's just like, no, the game's just kind of out here and I guess done. It's just kind of like, okay. And like the UI is really simplistic and it's intuitive enough, I guess. Like when you go in, like when you go into your sub, menu, your character menu, like all your levels and the abilities you could get are on the right side. And like you have like 9 slots on your character that you can fill with items and stuff like that. I was not finding like a bunch of good stuff to equip to like build myself out. It was just like, it just felt like the levels were pretty empty. Other than, you know, kind of the few enemies, like I wasn't finding like a lot of treasure or drops. And it just didn't feel good, man. It was just like kind of, it did give me a good chuckle, like especially like the disembodied hands and just kind of the way some of the enemies moved. I was just kind of like, okay, this is like a little silly, but it was just like, just doesn't feel done to me, really.
Yeah, I know Chris Taylor played it on the Switch, and he said that he kind of likens it to a B-movie of video games, where it's just kind of cheesy, kind of campy, but there is fun to be had there if you look for it.
I guess he looked harder than I did. I didn't like. I mean, it's definitely like, yeah.
I played a bit of it on Xbox, and I didn't think it was that bad. I just wish that it wasn't as stupidly difficult as it is.
It is certainly hard. Like I had
enemies hit you one time, and that's a quarter of your life.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have one health potion.
Yeah, there was one humdinger of a run where I actually got like 4 healing items on me.
Damn.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It's just like, yeah, I don't think it looks okay, but you know, it's kind of plain, which isn't necessarily bad. Like it doesn't play great in my opinion. Like it just doesn't feel like there's enough stuff there. It's hard. Like I it feels like a great start, like to a game.
Yeah, like I'd love to see Crimson Keep 2. Keep harder.
Yeah. Yeah, keep harder. Like I think the way that it jiggers the levels around is pretty good. Like I'm not seeing, it's not just like cookie cutter like slapping different rooms together, you know. It felt like there was some dynamic stuff going on, like, oh, there's like a big lava pit here. And the way the caves interconnected, like that seemed good. But just kind of like actually trying to get through the game was rough, buddy.
Well, I still got to ask you, $20 on it. What do you think?
No, I don't think you should be picking up Crimson Peak unless they're going to do more
Crimson
work
Peak
on it. Oh God, that's a movie. Crimson Keep. Crimson Peak's a good movie. Great movie. Crimson Keep is not a great game. In its current form, I think there's plenty of room there for it to there's a lot of room for it to improve, but it feels like they should be working towards that end. I'm surprised they're just kind of throwing it out there like, here you go, $20. I'm just guy. No.
It's a good base to build upon.
It is a good base to build upon. I like where they're headed with it, but if like this is where the road ends for Crimson Keep, no thanks. No thanks. Oh, well.
What you gonna do?
You're gonna play Assault Android Cactus, because that is a great, fun game that is well worth $20. You can't buy them all, right? You don't got $60 to spend on games this week. Maybe you got 20. There you go. Treat yourself. Get a Salt Android Cactus. You don't got time to play every game.
Well, some of us do. Some of us are unemployed. Fun employed.
Oh my God. I wish I had time to play more games. I've had Resident Evil 2 for like a month. I've only played like 3 hours of it. And now Devil May Cry 5 is out. And Sekiro comes out next week. And
Division just came out.
I don't play The Division, but I'm excited for some people. Yeah, that Yoshi game comes out at the end of the month, which I can't wait to play with my kid. Just like, I miss pre-child. One of the things I miss about pre-child life is just like those weekends where it's like, you know, wife would go to work on like a Saturday for a double, and it's like 10 o'clock, and I'm like, I have the next 12 hours to just sit on my ass and play video games. Like, you know, I used to get a AAA release on Tuesday because they used to come out on Tuesday. Now they come out on Friday. I used to plow through those things in a weekend because I had all that free time. Now it's like I'm trying to squeeze in an hour of Resident Evil 2 here and there, and it's just like, ah. Those were the days, but
what memories.
Get to play my Switch a lot, that's for sure.
Hey, that's not a bad thing.
Oh, man, Switch saved my life. My gaming life. That's why I review so many games on the Switch. That's where all my ability to play is. All right, yeah.
All right, well, that is it for this episode. Thanks, everyone, for sticking around and checking it out. Tim, do you have any final words to end this?
Oh, man, what was I going to say? Oh, shit. Hashtag Kofi Mania.